We'd like to welcome you to our June 7th service, the first Sunday in June. We trust that in God's providence you'll be encouraged and that you'll be stimulated to love and to good deeds. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Our first hymn this morning is taken from hymn number 341, Come Thou Almighty King. Come thou, Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father, all glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou incarnate word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear. In this glad hour, thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart. Never from us depart, Spirit of power. To thee, great one in three, the highest praises be, hence evermore. Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Our next hymn is hymn number 318, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune mine heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. This my glad commemoration, that till now I've safely come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Our next hymn is hymn number 114. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Hymn number 114, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Our salutation this morning: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you that we're free to come into your presence and confess our sins. We acknowledge, Father, that it's a broken and a contrite spirit that you want. You want us to humble ourselves before you. You have promised that if we humble ourselves before you, that you will exalt us in due time. So teach us to have the same attitude as the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help us to understand the nature of our sin and the depth and breadth of our sin, that we may also learn to understand and to love you because of the great love that you have for us that is greater than our sin. We thank you that you did send your Son to be the propitiation for our sin, and that he, as he dismissed his spirit, also said, "It is finished." So we thank you that he is seated at your right hand, interceding for us. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Our hymn of response is hymn number 621. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hymn number 621. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come before you this morning, and we would ask that your people would rise up and truly be salt and light in these troubled times. We would ask, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and men and women would be drawn to him. We know, Father, that your word tells us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if we would have peace, we need to proclaim him. We need to intercede for those in authority, that they would be influenced by your truth. We need to commit our way into your hand, knowing that you do all things well for your glory and for our benefit. We ask in particular, Father, for those broken cities and the people in those broken cities that have been ravaged by riots and looting. We know, Father, that except for the grace of God, we would be involved, for we have the same nature as those who participated, and only by your grace and mercy are we here, sitting in quiet, able to intercede for those. So we ask, Father, that indeed we would be those priests, bringing our concerns for our neighbors and our nation before your throne of grace and mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would give wisdom and strength and discernment to your people in these places, that as they seek to minister the gospel of Christ, they would not be caught up in extraneous discussions or in those areas that would distract them from the main purpose. And the main purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's only the gospel that is a transforming power that will change a man so that he is an ambassador of Jesus Christ rather than a selfish, ambitious individual. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who proclaim your word, that they would be clear, that they would be those who would be faithful to your word, that they would not add or subtract to those things that you have written for our learning. We ask that we ourselves would learn to study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not to be ashamed, that we ourselves would have wisdom and discernment as we deal with people who are uncertain, they're lost, and floundering for answers. We ask, Father, that you would help us to direct men and women to understand that one day we all will stand before your throne and give an answer for those things that we have done. We ask that we would declare the gospel so that men and women would know that they may have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank you for the expectation of his soon return. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8, and Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." From Acts 2, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You will note that Jesus said that they would receive the promise of the Father. And that promise is the Holy Spirit. Our situation today is a strange situation for many of us. We have lived for decades in relative peace and quiet. And at present, our nation is being rent asunder for a number of reasons. And there are people seeking to find answers. And one of the answers that is being suggested in the city of Minneapolis is that they're going to disband the police department and come up with some other solution of peacekeeping. A president of a university said this, quote, "The extraordinary times in which we are living are shining a spotlight on so many issues of equity and the lack of it, on the ways that rights and opportunity are unevenly distributed across our society, and the worth of our labor and our lives unequally valued. As an academic community built on the bedrock values of diversity, inclusion, and openness, we have an obligation to ensure that the forces of these events and our feelings drive us not backward but forward. Over these past days, the words that have resonated with me the most as I have struggled with the question of how our community can best embrace our collective challenge are those of the Reverend William J. Barber II, spoken to an empty church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, this past Sunday. We cannot try to hurry up and put the screams and the tears and the hurt back in the bottle just to get back to some normal that was abnormal in the first place. Hear the screams, feel the tears. The very people who have been rejected over and over again are the ones who have shown us the possibility of a more perfect nation." Unquote. I don't wish to make a big discussion about this quote. I'd like to draw your attention to two things. First is that the events and our feelings need to drive us forward. No definition to forward, no concept of what we're looking for, no concept of destination, but we don't want to go backward and we want to go forward. I suggest to you that there's no understanding here about what was backward and what was forward. And as the scriptures tell us in Ecclesiastes, Man is insane, and man is in darkness. And you will, if you could look at this quote, you'll see that there's a lot of undefined terms with no seeming comprehension that I, you, other people might understand what's being said differently than the speaker. The comment I'm drawing your attention to is that the world doesn't know the truth. And the scriptures tell us that the world studies, they seek knowledge, but they don't find the truth. The truth is rooted in God. The Old Testament tells us that God is the Lord God of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We first must be at peace with God, and then we can have the peace of God. So, what about us in this situation? The Christian is to be light. We're to be salt. I would like you to meditate with me on a solution to help us to understand who we are and what we are to be about. And to understand this, I think that what we're due today is to work to meditate upon the coming of the Holy Spirit and what that means. Acts chapter 1 begins with the statement that Jesus began to do and to teach in the Gospels. His ministry begins in the Gospels. And Jesus, having ascended into heaven, he is going to continue to do and to teach through the new humanity, the church. And this new humanity is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has specific functions. And Jesus spoke of these particular duties of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Jesus says in John 16, beginning with verse 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is to be sent because Christ ascends, and it's to our advantage that Christ ascends, for then the Holy Spirit may come and do the five things that Jesus says that he is to do. He is to convict of sin. He's to convict of righteousness. He's to convict of judgment. He is to lead us into truth. And he is to exalt, glorify Jesus Christ. So the book of Acts begins with the statement that the ministry of Jesus is going to continue through the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 speak of the coming of this Holy Spirit. And if you look at Acts 1 and 2, you'll see that the disciples, 120 of them, were to go back into Jerusalem and wait. They were to just sit and wait. And when they asked Jesus whether he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel, he answered them by pointing them to the coming of the Spirit. And he gives the outline for the whole book of Acts. The outline being, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. And that is the progress of the book of Acts. It begins in Jerusalem, extends to Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And they were gathered together, and they were waiting. In Acts chapter 2, the very first sentence is, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all waiting together with one accord. They didn't have to do anything except be in Jerusalem and wait. So the Holy Spirit is sent, and Jesus had said in Luke 24:49 that the disciples would have the Spirit, and he says specifically, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So these disciples had to be in Jerusalem, they had to be waiting, and then the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, would be given to them. This gift is repeated. The term gift or the term promise is used in the scriptures each time in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit comes upon a body of believers. It's mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Acts 2:33, Acts 2:38-39, and that has to do with the company that was gathered together in the upper room. And then it's mentioned in as a gift in chapter 8, verse 20, when the Samaritans receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verses 44 and 45, when the people in Caesarea receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 11, when Simon tries to buy the power of the Holy Spirit, he is rebuked. You don't buy the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It is the promise of the Father. And then it's mentioned again in chapter 15 when Peter reports to the first church council and he says that the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit even as the Jews received it in Jerusalem in the upper room. And also then in chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, when the people in Ephesus, I believe there were 12, received the Holy Spirit, and again, it's referred to as a gift. The coming of the Spirit comes from heaven. It is the gift of God. And if you go back to Acts chapter 2, you'll see that they were all, everyone in that room, all filled with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anyone missing. There was no one in that room who was not, quote, filled with the Holy Spirit, unquote. It's the Spirit that empowered them, and the Spirit is a gift. The body of Christ continues the work of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they receive the Spirit of God. It is a gift. But given the power of the Holy Spirit, what are we to do? Again, if you go into the text, you'll see that you will receive power. This is chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 in Acts. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the consequence of that power is you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, at the end of the earth. The power of the Spirit is the power to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit joins men to Christ. Men and women, children, by the Spirit of God, are joined to Christ by the power of the Spirit, so that men become representatives of Christ. There is no higher blessing. There's no higher blessing than that you, as God's child, are to represent Jesus Christ. You may be the only person that represents Christ in your place of work. You may be the only person who represents Christ at the restaurant or wherever you may be. You are privileged, you are honored to be a representative of Christ. And this is not something that you requested, it's not something you petitioned for, it's not something that is exclusively to you, it is to all who are washed in the blood of Christ, and it is a gift. God has gifted you to represent His Son. And Paul reminds us that part of this process of representing Him is to be molded and shaped into the image of the Son of God. There's no condition. Paul writes in Galatians, and he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's the work of Christ. It's the finished work of Christ in fulfilling the law and being the blessing, the seed of Abraham, that enables us to be formed into the image of Christ and be the ones who manifest His character and His person. We are recipients of the blessing of Abraham. Paul also writes in Galatians that Abraham is the father of those who believe. So as believers in Jesus Christ, we are members of the new humanity, the church, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of bearing witness. Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians 5:20 when he says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is one who has the interest of a nation or a kingdom at heart while he lives in another nation or kingdom. You and I, being pilgrims here upon earth, our citizenship being in heaven, are to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Our interest is to be the kingdom of God. Our concern should be the spread and proclamation of the kingdom of God. Our ambition is that we ourselves would be well-pleasing in the sight of our King. The Holy Spirit indwells us so that we are able to be faithful, consistent witnesses and ambassadors. But Paul goes on and tells us in 1 Corinthians that our bodies are temples. Jesus gives us a clue to this in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, when John is speaking. He speaks about his body, and he's speaking about he cleanses the temple, and they complain. The Jews, Jesus said, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" And Jesus answers and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus is speaking of the temple. And as you study the scriptures, you'll see that Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was filled by the Spirit, and so are we. We are to be led by the Spirit, and we are, in as Jesus, our body then is the temple. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, "God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." You and I look forward to the resurrection. And because we look forward to the resurrection, then we need to remember what Paul says, the next question. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So as a child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are to be an ambassador, and your body is a temple. As we look at our situation, the situation in our country is deteriorating, and when it deteriorates, the human character is displayed in all of its ugliness. We need to remember, as Christians, we should remember this, that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, and those who are not believers in Jesus Christ remain dead in trespasses and sins. And it's only by God's mercy and grace that there are any restraints to human sin. And human sin is ugly. There is nothing so ugly as men, women acting out their sin nature. Nothing. And that's what we're seeing exploding across our nation. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we know the truth, and we understand the resolution and solution. The resolution and solution is the gospel. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And we, because we are witnesses, because we are those who to be ambassadors, have the privilege and the duty to proclaim the gospel. We need to know that the only way I am perfectly able to love my neighbor is if I love God first. The only thing I can do in terms of learning how to forgive somebody is if I understand the depth and the nature of God's forgiveness for me first. I must be at peace with God. Then I can be a peacemaker. It's the Holy Spirit that indwells us that enables me to be an ambassador, enables me to be that witness that I am supposed to be. The Holy Spirit came. He was a gift. God gave him to me. He gave him to you. And thereby we are joined to Christ and we are one with him. And we represent him in everywhere we go and what we say. We are representatives of the person of Christ. And we do this not on our own, but in the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit who gives us the power. We're told in the scriptures that when we're hauled before authorities, that we're not to give a thought to what we say, but we're to trust the Spirit of God to speak through us. Relax. You're God's child. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Relax. God will speak through you as you open your mouth in faith. During this time is a great opportunity for you as an individual, for us as a church, for the Church of God on a national basis, to bear witness to the Christ that we serve, to bear witness of the Christ who indwells us by the Holy Spirit, to bear witness of the Christ who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to bear witness of the Christ who will be confessed by everyone that he is King. Let us be faithful to our calling as witnesses and ambassadors, in particular as we see the ravages of human sin being displayed across our nation and in our communities. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you and praise you that you did send the Holy Spirit to the church, that Jesus ascended in heaven, and having ascended, then the Holy Spirit is sent, and he is the comforter. He is the one who comes alongside and comforts. He is the one who indwells us and enables us to understand the nature of truth and what truth is. He is the one who teaches us how to glorify and to exalt your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that we would be humble in this matter, knowing that each of us in the body of Christ have the same Spirit. As your apostle wrote, we have one Lord, one baptism, and one Spirit. So we ask, Lord, that we would be those who would understand these things, and that we would truly address the pain and the sorrow of our world with the only salve that works, the only salve of healing, which is the gospel of Christ. We understand, Lord, that The world is led by leaders who are blind, and they're leading the unsighted. But you, by your mercy and grace, by your word, have opened our eyes so that we see the truth. So we ask, Lord, that we would continue to meditate upon your word, that we would study it, that we would make it part of our lives, so that we could speak your word into other people's lives, knowing that the Spirit of God uses your word to transform men and women. We thank you for your great mercies that are new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to hymn number 147, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Hymn number 147. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Hast thou not bid us love thee, God and King, all thine own soul, heart and strength and mind? I see thy cross there, teach my heart to cling. Oh, let me seek thee, and oh, let me find. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heaven-descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love the flame. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.